worse. The hidden fees and admin costs are scarier than the dingy facilities you're leaving your stuff in. Why not use Closet Box instead? Closet Box is self-storage without leaving home. They'll pick up your belongings, store them securely, and bring any item back when you need it. The best part? Unlike traditional self-storage, you only pay for what you store. No paying for unused storage space. Closet Box's background check storage movers are licensed, bonded, and insured, and will take care of all of the heavy lifting. Closet Box's local storage centers are temperature controlled and monitored 24/7. Closet Box has an A+ rating from the BBB. Call 877-233-5696 now for the season's best rates. Get $50 off first month storage using code RADIO50. That's 877-233-5696. 877-233-5696.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan. Hour number 2, about to get going. We got soccer. We got football. We got gambling. And we got basketball all ahead in this next hour.
It's Friday, Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Weekend, Friday, Friday, getting down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Partying, fun, looking forward to the weekend.
You know, it's interesting, Will Guillory of The Athletic, at Will Guillory on Twitter. So gambling, football, soccer, basketball, I guess we just need like a shoe segment, man. How are you doing this afternoon?
Oh, man, I'll take all the segments I can get. I'm feeling great on this Friday, man. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, man. I love the month of October. Major League Baseball playoffs, we got 4 games tonight. We got Pels preseason, and of course the regular season starts on October 20th. You got football, college means something, the pros, it means something now at this point. So I love this month of October, and I don't know, are you in Chicago? You're in Chicago, right?
I am not. I'm in New Orleans. I'm traveling to
Because I was gonna say, because the Graf sent me a picture of him walking Lake Michigan, and it's beautiful. And I'm like, it's hot. It's 94 degrees yesterday when I got into the car. I'm like, I just want to feel like it's cool weather. But anyway, man. I guess we'll start with this. Just, it's 1-1 in the preseason, but I've gotten excited. And I think one of the last few times we've talked to, I asked you, you're probably going to have to like calm me down from summer league and doing this. Dude, good luck trying to calm me down on Akil Alexander-Walker and Trey Murphy, both combined for 41 points. It's not happening. You're not going to calm me down.
Listen, man, no, people are going to have to calm me down when it comes to now. You know, I'm not a guy over to kill Alexander Walker, man. I'm just out here telling people, oh, now y'all jumping on the bandwagon. I've been screaming about this since his rookie season. But, no, I mean, he looks fantastic. The way he's playing, the way he's shooting the ball, the confidence. I wrote, you know, a couple of days ago about just his change in mentality coming into this season. You know, we had a long talk out there in Vegas, and he told me just about how he used to beat himself up so much, you know, earlier in his career, you know, over those bad nights, over those, you know, times where he was out of the rotation, and he's kind of learning to take things more day-to-day and understanding how long this NBA season can be and how it can kind of, you know, weigh on you, and you need to take things one step at a time, and I think that's made the process a lot easier for him. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I think he's going to have a huge year. I mean, I had no idea, you know, they were going to draft Klay Thompson with the number 17 pick. I would have gave David Griffin much better grading. You know, on draft night, I probably knew he was going to draft, like, you know, one of the top 5 shooters of all time this year. And Trey Murphy, but a dude just does the best shots. I've never seen anything like it.
It's really nuts when you think about it. Look, normally in the NBA, you're hoping your first-round pick can come along. I mean, look, it took Anthony Davis a couple of years. It takes, you know, we're still waiting to see really where Zion will be. I know he's had a nice 90 games, but Will, you've heard me on my show. There's a lot I need to still see from this guy here. And yet, you look at Trey Murphy and Herbert Jones, how are those guys not going to be on the court? One, I've already said needs to be starting in TM3. And Herb Jones, I got Shamit Dew over there saying he needs to be, you know, in the death squad at the end of the game or whatever. He needs to be the center. It's incredible what they might have found in the draft.
Yeah, Yeah, I'm not ready to go that far yet because, I mean, I think Jonas Valanciunas is going to be a real valuable piece for this team. I think offensively he's going to be something much different than we're used to seeing in Pelicans uniforms at the center position. I think just even in that first preseason game, we kind of got the whole Jonas package with him hitting fadeaways. He had the three-pointer. He had the crazy pump fake. He got kicked out after two sets. I mean, it was the whole – he gave you a little bit of everything in that first preseason game. But, no, I mean, you're exactly right. Those two rookies have been extremely impressive. It's wild, you know, we're able to be in the building now with Pels people. And I'm telling you, I had more than one occasion where people have just walked up to me and started raving about Herb Jones. It's like they can't wait to get out their takes about Herb Jones on airline drive, how much they love that dude and what he does on defense and the work he's doing with Fred Vincent to improve his jump shot. I think there's no doubt he's going to find his way on the court somehow. And I think the big question is, man, there are a lot of people on that bench when you look who probably deserve minutes when you go through – Josh Hart, Thomas Anoransky, Tyra Lewis, Jackson Hayes. You can keep going down the list. There are a lot of guys, and I think you got to feel pretty good about that depth. But, man, it's going to be a tough job for Willie Green to figure out, you know, what he's going to do with that starting lineup and who's going to get DMPs on game night. Because I guarantee you, whoever it is, there's going to be some fans out there disappointed because there's a lot, of, you know, to be excited about on that bench.
Yeah. That's not the norm. At least it hasn't been around here for some time. And I think one of the other things, Will, that you've seen in the practices that you've covered and already just listening to some players, how do I ask this? Was it that bad last year? I mean, like, was the atmosphere in the mood that bad? I've heard we finally can play free. I've heard we can have music. I've heard, you know, it's nice to be trusted. Jackson Hayes, it's nice to know if you miss a shot, you're not going to get benched. I mean, was it that bad?
Man, I'm telling you, I have a running joke with my guy Andrew Lopez when we do these interviews is how often we hear a subliminal shot at Stan Van Gundy when we talk to these guys.
It's every time.
The other day we were talking to Josh Hart. He goes, yeah, last year defensive schemes were interesting. We kind of hear that kind of stuff all the time from guys. And when you talk to people off the record, I mean, yeah, it's even worse. I think it was no doubt that, you know, I think the whole COVID situation really added to it and made things much worse because it kind of felt like you could never escape the building. You know, it was always felt like, hey, we got to be here taking tests. We got to be here, you know, watching film. We're traveling. We're playing every other night. So then when you're not getting along with your coach, it probably feels like 10 times worse with that type of season. But, yeah, there's no doubt I think the personality shift from Stan Van Gundy to Willie Green has been stark. And I think it's made a lot of people in that building much happier because when you got a young team, you need a coach that's a little more understanding that can help them along rather than, you know, stopping practice and giving a lecture for 30 minutes about the value of helping from weak side and stuff like that. I mean, Stan Van Gundy, I've said it all the time. He's an extremely bright basketball mind. When you hear him talk basketball, the guy knows his stuff. But I think what we saw last year was his inability to kind of tone down his personality and be more understanding of this young group. And I think that's the specialty of what Willie Green brings, the guy who played so long in the league. He knows how to talk to people. He can understand players and where they're coming from because he's been in every type of situation, right? He's played on winning teams. He's played on losing teams. He's been a starter. He's been on the bench. He talked the other night about Orlando. He ran into each one more in the hallway. And he was like, yeah, I was you know, a couple years ago when I was in Orlando. I played that exact role, the older guy on the younger team. So, yeah, he's done a little bit of everything. And you know, when you talk to people with the Pels, they love what he's bringing in the building, the energy, and guys are going to, you know, play hard for him this year. I think there's no question about that.
Speaking with Will Guillory of The Athletic, covers your New Orleans Pelicans. That Will Guillory is the way to give him a follow. Okay, so some of the things, obviously, that have been bright. I put a thread of the game on Wednesday of just the defensive possessions. The last two possessions in the third quarter that separated and won the game, I think, for the Pels, right? That 6-0 run and stuff. You just saw defensive rotations. You saw people rebounding. You saw those different aspects, ball movement. That's nice to sort of see. What are some of the things that I would still like to see? Will, are there some positives? What are some of the things that you would still like to see? One of mine is what I want to see tonight, Devontae Graham. In other words, I need to see clearly that's your starting point guard. If not, I'm going to keep pushing non-TM3 as your starting guards.
No doubt, man. People want to get TM3 in that starting lineup. But I think, you know, first and foremost, I would love to see maybe number one put on a jersey. You know, number 14 put on a jersey, Brandon Ingram, Zion Williams. We still haven't seen those guys. We're probably not going to see Z, you know, throughout the preseason. There's still hope. hope he's going to be back for that opening night. But, yeah, I mean, as much as we like this group and what we're seeing from him, everything's going to change when those two guys come back, right? Everything's going to shift towards making this team work for those guys, and everybody's got to play off of them. So I think that's going to be really interesting to see how they kind of adapt to that on a fly once Zion and B.I. come back. And I think you're right with Devontae Graham. I was kind of surprised when I looked at the box score at the end of the Orlando game and saw he had 7 assists there. And I commented during the game, you can see him already developing that chemistry and pick and roll with Billy Hernan Gomez, his former teammate in Charlotte, and Jonas Valanciunas. I think that's why I've kind of leaned more towards having Devontae Graham in that starting lineup, because I think you need that guy who can help feed Jonas and pick and roll, feed Zion, rather than relying so much on B.I. and Zion. And also, man, to see if we could just – I would love to see more minutes with Devontae Graham and Nikhil Alexander-Walker, see how those guys fit, see what they can do defensively, because I still – as much as everybody's on the TN3 hype train, and I'm like 1 foot on right now, I still believe Devontae and Nall would be the starting backcourt that I would want. For the reasons I just said, you need that ball handling, you need that three-point shooting. But, man, like I said, with Trey Murphy, if he's going to be like – Klay Thompson out there hitting 6 threes every game, I don't know how you don't put him in the starting lineup and just let him rain down open threes next to Z and B.I. It's really crazy what that kid is doing.
Will, you brought it up, and we got about 3.5 minutes here, so we can kind of close out on that, because that is really, to me, look, I think my eyes and my gut tell me this team has more shooting than last year. My eyes and my gut tell me it looks like they're a little bit deeper. So we've kind of discussed that. But I think the interesting thing is what you just said. When they eventually come back, B.I.'s not playing again tonight. And you saw a little of that first game, and, you know, he can play within that system. I'm really interested in how this happens when Zion comes back and not having him played, you know, in Nashville, really any time with these guys, because what I think you see, Will, I guess what I'm getting at is there's an identity starting to build in this team. It's team offense, team defense, passing, moving, and all of that. And I don't know. To me, he has to fit into that, because that works. That's looking like it can work and all that stuff. And I get the build a team that's better around him and all of that. But it's almost, to me, how is he going to implement himself into a pace in a style of play on both sides of the ball that's going to require him to be ready to go here when he gets going? So you get what I'm getting at, Will? It's going to be interesting to see how he fits in here.
Yeah, no doubt. I don't think that's going to be an issue for Zion, because, I mean, you got to remember, this is a guy who shot 61% from the field last year. So it's not like
right. He's
jacking up a whole bunch of shots. You know, he
very
can
true.
Fit within a team, you know, style offense and a ball movement centric offense. I think, you know, as much as he loved the point Zion thing and the way Stan Van Gundy put the ball in his hands, I think Z and B.I. have made it known that they weren't really in love with the idea of playing so much iso ball and having so much of the offense be on
Good
their
point.
Shoulders the way it was last year. So I think having these new guys in here who can make plays, who can take some of that stress off of their shoulders, I think those guys are going to invite that. And I think they're looking forward to that. And I think the big thing for me is, once you get Z on B.I. back, how is Willie Green going to find a way to have those guys play off of each other? I think that's something that I wrote about over the offseason. That's something I heard about from B.I.'s camp. And B.I. said it out of his own mouth that last year it felt like so often it would be him on one side of the court and Zion on the other side of the court. And it was either B.I. Stephen Adams pick and roll or Zion one-on-one, basically. And I think when you watch every other team in the league, when you have two all-stars, those guys work off of each other. They run pick and roll together. They force mismatches. And we just didn't see that last year with B.I. And I would love to see Willie Green finding more ways to get those guys involved together and using them as an advantage to get easier shots for everybody else. Because we know B.I. and Zion can get their own buckets whenever they want to. But putting those guys in advantageous situations, forcing double teams, getting those open looks for Devontae, for Nall, for Trey Murphy, I think that's going to be the key for this offense once they get all of their guys back.
Finally, Will, look, it's the first time we get to see Lonzo Ball against his old team. Look, he got paid. You know me, he should have been traded a while back. So I'm fine. I'm happy. I think both parties worked out the way they need to. He spoke about facing him. He's like, I don't feel any kind of way. I'm blessed and all that. And he should be. He got paid. He's on a new team, and he's happy. That all said, do you think there's going to be just a little something when he gets the ball on the wing, maybe try to drive, knock down a three, or maybe even try to defend him?
I mean, are you sure I'm allowed to talk about Lonzo Ball? I won't be banned from the practice facility or anything like that. I don't know if I'm allowed, you know, Chicago writers are putting out that, you know, tells people are bands and talking about LeVar, Lonzo Ball. But no, I mean, you know, we know how Lonzo Ball is. He's a guy who basically has, you know, little or no personality on the court. He's not going to jack up a whole bunch of shots. So I think there's probably going to be a little something there. I think not having Zion and B.I. on the court probably takes away a little sheen for this matchup. But, yeah, I'm sure anytime you play against your old team, it's going to be a little pep in your step. But with Lonzo, we know how he is, man. He's even keel at all times. So I think it's going to be a fun matchup, but I think it won't be anything out the ordinary.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So you get banned, huh, by talking about Lonzo?
Listen, man, I'm terrified of the goons over there on Airline Drive, Matt Ryan. You know, they'll come to your doorstep if you talk about LeVar Ball. That's
true. All of a sudden, your access denied when you're trying to get it through the door all of a sudden, you know?
Like the Jamal Adams meme, huh? You walk up with your
Absolutely. Your COVID vaccine test is going to come back just with everything. You're going to have the flu, the measles, everything. You're going to be banned from showing up. Will Guillory covers the Pelicans. Have fun this weekend, man. Good luck checking out the game again tonight. We'll talk again next week, sir.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having me on.
Sounds good. Mr. Vegas is up next. Rafael Esparza on ESPN New Orleans.
Offside and hold it. Ought to be ashamed of yourself, baby.
Your new Ford dealership in Lafourche Parish is Calvin Braxton Ford. You may need your vehicle serviced, but you don't want to drive too far. Get ready for some good news. The Calvin Braxton Ford service department in Lockport is now open. And better yet, they truly want to keep your vehicle running at its best. Now offering a special on gas-only oil changes, just $39.95 up to 5 quarts. Plus, with 4 new tires, your alignment is only $69.95. Yeah, Calvin Braxton Ford, 5878 Highway 1 in Lockport.
El Paso Mexican Grill and Steakhouse, Highway 1 in Raceland, features fantastic, authentic Mexican food and steaks. They have great lunch specials Monday to Fridays, plus enjoy happy hour from 3 to 7 p.m. with 2-for-1 margaritas. And on Fridays, it's 2-for-1 margaritas from open to close, plus live music on Friday evenings. El Paso Mexican Food and Steakhouse on Highway 1 Raceland.
Is pain putting a strain on your quality of life? Don't suffer in silence. Get relief at the Pain Center of Thibodaux Regional. Dr. Luis Hernandez and Dr. Keith Duplantis can provide solutions to neck, knee, and back pain, as well as pain associated with injury, arthritis, nerve damage, and migraines. Get help for your pain at the Pain Center of Thibodaux Regional. Call today, 985-493-4080, or go to Thibodaux.com.
You have a pest control problem? Roundtree's Pest Control and Supplies has an experienced staff that can guide you with the products to use yourself for your home or business. They carry a full line of professional products for termites, mosquitoes, ants, wasps, fleas, bed bugs, mice and rats, or any other pest control needs you may have. That's Roundtree's Pest Control and Supplies. Call 985-475-3314. That's Roundtree's Pest Control and Supplies.
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Rafael Esparza, VSI Doc Sports. We're on Twitter, Instagram, free daily videos, and at 2 o'clock on Mondays and Fridays, this beautiful YouTube show in high def 4K, lighting the works. Mr. Vegas, how are you this afternoon?
What's going on, Gus? How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Are you ready for tomorrow? I mean, guys like you, this is what you live for, right? Tyson Fury, the trilogy, number 3. Are you ready for tomorrow?
Yeah, it's fight weekend, so it should be interesting to see what happens tomorrow night. It's a great undercard. I know people are like, I don't want to spend $70-$80 for pay-per-view, but there's 4 heavyweight fights on this card. It should be a fun and inviting event. And then you get to see a trilogy. I mean, this is not going to be a quick knockout fight, I don't believe. Fury Wilder, I think this one goes through the championship rounds. And these guys hate each other. So it's not like we're going to see just guys toe dancing around a ring and all that. There's a lot of hatred in the ring. So when there's hatred in the ring, anything can happen.
I was going to say, Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder, in their, I don't know if it's like for the show, the or the promo or whatever, but you've seen, I mean, ESPN just did like a 3-minute package on them training for this fight, and they are just angry. They're just angry. They can't wait to throw punches at one another. Let's go back at the other two. Describe, or I guess, you know, summarize one and two. Summarize the first two fights.
The first fight, Wilder connected, and he went down, and Fury got up. And then Fury owned pretty much the rest of the fight. So it was kind of interesting to see how a guy, especially a heavyweight, can rebound from a knockout and pretty much won the fight. If you watch that fight, everyone thought it wasn't a draw. Fury should have won that one. So if you're kind of looking at that, Fury should be 2-0 coming in this one, and we probably wouldn't even see a trilogy. But then the second fight, it was just total game plan. If you want to say Deontay Wilder was gassed out because of his costume that he wore into the ring, but he was gassed out because Tyson Fury weighed on him. And Tyson Fury came in a little bit heavy to weigh on him, so Wilder had to carry him pretty much the whole beginning of the fight. And when you have to carry another heavyweight in the ring, mm-hmm. you get tired. And that's what Fury did, and Fury connected him not once, not twice, and had to corner stop the fight. So I think that's what we're going to see. I think we're going to see a boring first half of the fight, and then rounds 5, 6, 7, 8 is when the fireworks start.
So how you see it tomorrow for the folks paying attention that are going to shell out the big bucks?
I got Tyson Fury winning in the championship rounds. I think that's what's going to probably end up happening. I think Fury's going to carry him, carry Wilder around. He's going to gas out, and he's going to win those championship rounds. I would not be shocked if it goes to the decision, but exactly, I would not be shocked if Fury KOs him. If you're a Deontay Wilder fan, you have your money on him, you need a quick knockout. You can't see Wilder going into the championship rounds. So I think that's bad for all your Wilder fans. But I got Fury, and I think he wins in either 9, 10, or 11.
All right, there we go. Speak with Rafael Esparza, VSI Doc Sports. All right, give me some quick college games here. LSU, Kentucky, Wildcats, favored by 2.5.
I mean, it's not well for the state of Louisiana when it comes to football right now. And I like Kentucky. You know me. I've been saying that Coach O was in thin ice before the season started, and he's going to be begging for a road victory. If he doesn't, what's the outcome going to be when he drives that bus back to Baton Rouge? What's the outcome going to be like that? I like Kentucky if they can run the ball. If they can't run the ball, then I think LSU keeps this close and they squeeze out a victory. But in the first half, if they can't stop the Wildcats' run, I would not be shocked if the Wildcats win.
Number 6, Oklahoma. Number 21, Texas in the Cotton Bowl. Oklahoma, 3-point favorite.
Why is this game at game day? It should be Iowa-Penn State. Well, I know these two teams haven't won anything in decades. This is not 1990 anymore. If I had to pick a winner, I'd probably go Longhorns because I'm not sold on Oklahoma.
All right. You mentioned it. Penn State, Iowa, number 4, number 3. Who you like in this one? As in that game, Iowa's a 1.5-point favorite.
I'm really impressed on how Iowa went to Iowa State to beat them on the road and control that second half. If Penn State's defense is up and ready and hitting hard, boy, is this going to be a good game. I think whoever wins this one wins by a field goal. I'm slightly saying Iowa, but would not be shocked if Penn State gets a late defensive touchdown.
Is Georgia better than Alabama? They're a 15-point favorite at Auburn.
Defense, yes. Offense, no. So it's going to be a great – when these two teams, it's going to be great. It's going to be whose offense can score and who's better defense. So if you put that defense and that offense together, you would have a team that could probably beat Jacksonville, Jaguars, and the Detroit Lions in the NFL. But I'm going to say Georgia wins this weekend.
On VSI Doc Sports, the way to follow Rafael Esparza. YouTube show coming up at the top of the hour. If you want to go look at that, Ask a Bookie is what it's called. Rams beat the Seahawks 26-17 last night. Russell Wilson's finger bending in ways it shouldn't. Likely surgery. Has he played his last game in Seattle?
He might have. I mean, unless for some odd reason they still win games without him and they can sell that on him. I mean, Russell Wilson's the only guy that can point around a door. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Seattle, because there's a lot of teams that's going to be looking for quarterbacks. Pittsburgh, maybe you're in your backyard. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens now to Seattle.
Jets and Falcons, 8:30 a.m. on Sunday at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium over in London. Atlanta, 2.5-point favorite at Battle of 1 and 3s. Poor Brits.
I'll be watching some replay English Premier League soccer because I know it's
you gotta watch this 8:30 a.m. Scooch over Mrs. Esparza and be like, we're watching this.
When I used to work in Vegas, these games started at 6 in the morning, so I had to be at the book at 4, so I'm still mad at these books. If I had to choose something, I like the way the Jets played in the second half. I'll take the Jets.
I'd love that. Packers and Bengals, Green Bay, 3-point favorite over in Joe Burrow's home turf in Ohio.
I think this total's a little bit low. I know the total moved 3 points, but I think this one should be around 51.5, 52. Okay. I think we're going to see a lot of points scored on this one. I kind of lean towards Green Bay as well.
Lions, Vikings, Minnesota, 10-point favorite at home.
Will we have to watch this game? Vikings will score more points than they did last week in that boring game that they played. I like the over 49. I like Detroit plus the points.
I don't think anyone had Broncos 3-1, Steelers 1-3. This game's at Pittsburgh. Denver, just a 1-point favorite. No Teddy Two Gloves.
No Teddy Two Gloves. I like Pittsburgh. I think they bounce back. I think we all bash the old Big Ben, and they should bench him and get rid of him. I think he pulls the rug over us, and I think Pittsburgh wins this game.
Seemed like just yesterday, Dolphins fans everywhere, including my buddy Roy from the gym, was just, we're going 16-17-0. They are 10-point dogs in Tampa. They're 1-3.
I know. It just seems like I was in your office, and you told me that the Dolphins were going to go undefeated in the Super Bowl. Boy, has the time changed, and changes will be still changing. Tampa easily wins against the Dolphins.
Yeah, I agree. Eagles and Panthers. Philly 1-3. Hurst has played well, but they're 1-3. Panthers 3-1. Doubtful now with Christian McCaffrey. Carolina 3-point favorite.
I still like Carolina. I mean, yeah, Hurst has played well, but that defense is playing poorly. I like Carolina.
Titans, Jags. Will this be the game to end everything in Jacksonville? Will they pick up? No, they're not. Tennessee, 4.5-point favorite on the road. No way Titans lose, huh?
Right now, Urban Meyer and Tim Tebow are taking a knee and praying to the gambling gods that they can get a victory, but too bad, too sad, Tennessee even wins.
Is Urban done after this year?
Yes.
Where does he go?
I don't know. It's going to be a long. It's going to be a lot of head coaches looking for jobs. I think Ed O, Urban Meyer, UCF, Mike Noel from Florida State, maybe the guy from Miami. I mean, there's going to be a lot of coaches updating their resumes on LinkedIn.
I'm with you. There are a lot of big name programs that are going to be open at the end of this year. I just don't see Urban Meyer staying. I just honestly don't, especially with what happened with him being such a nice gentleman and playing the part of a chair for that young lady. Whose mom, by the way, yesterday is upset that her life is now ruined. How about she doesn't post it?
I lost sleep over that. But, hey, maybe Urban Meyer and Coach O can get a job at Caesars Sportsbook here in Louisiana because they're going to be needing ticket writers pretty soon.
Patriots, Texans, New England 9-point favorite on the road.
I'll take the road team. I was really impressed with how New England handled themselves against Tampa Tom last week, and I'm not sold on Houston.
Bears, Raiders, Vegas at home, 5.5-point favorite.
I like this Raiders defense. They're going to call it hectic on Chicago now that they have no running game. Give me Vegas.
Browns, Chargers, a pair of 3-1 teams, and the Chargers are 2-point favorite at home.
Chargers are the flavor of the week, and in the NFL, what they did on Monday night, give me the Chargers.
All right, Giants and Cowboys, they are billing this as a battle of yesteryear in the NFC East. Dallas, a 7-point favorite.
I can't believe I'm going to say this. I have Dallas as one of my top five teams in the NFC, and that's because of their defense, not their offense. Their defense has been so much improved. They win this game, and they cover this number. I think they win by double digits.
Dude, Micah Parsons, huh? That guy is like a franchise-chasing pick for him. For them, 49ers, Cardinals, Arizona, 4.5-point favorite at home. They're 4-0.
Yeah, this team is. I've been eating crow on Arizona. I guess I have to eat more crow because I think they win this game against the 49ers. They'll cover this 5.
Bills and Chiefs, 3-1. Buffalo at 2-2. KC. KC, 2.5-point favorite.
What happened to the dynasty of Kansas City? All these Super Bowl rings. They lose at home. Buffalo. Give me Buffalo plus the points.
Oh, man. You sound as disrespectful as the intern. Saints and Washington. New Orleans, a 2-point favorite.
Why are they at home a road favorite? I don't understand. I'm not stolen. Unless for some reason they give the ball to Kamara running and maybe do some more screen passes and change up their offense, then I'm going to take the Saints. If they play the same game plan as they did the Giants, they're losing in Washington. I'm going to have to take WTF on this, because I'm not sold on new the Saints offense. Defense, they're sound well on defense. Their offense is really has question marks.
All right, there you go, and there you have it. At Via Side Knock Sports is the way to follow over on Twitter. You can check out the YouTube TV show coming up at the top of the hour. Ask a Bookie. It's Mr. Rafael Esparza. We have him on Monday and Fridays. Thank you, sir. Appreciate the time.
Take it easy. Have a fantastic weekend.
There we go. Quick break. We come back. Marlon Favorite will join us. Wildcats and Tigers in Lexington tomorrow. What are the keys and how does he see it? We'll ask him next on ESPN New Orleans.
She said, do you come from a land down under?
So as you guys know, Mark's gone.
The float artist at Fred's Floral just took off, days before the parade. They need a replacement before business passes them by.
Oh, and who am I going to get to finish the float?
Indeed can help them hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. With Indeed Instant Match, we immediately show you quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed meet your sponsored job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Dear Vet Ticks, it was nice to spend the night with my daughter and other veterans. It's so humbling to attend an event when you feel appreciated.
I had a wonderful time with my family. Thank you for the memories, Vet Ticks.
Dear Vet Ticks, thank you for a great experience and for your support of the military and veterans.
Thank you so much, Vet Ticks. Our family has gone through a lot the last few years, and this gave us a nice break.
Every empty seat at a concert, game, or special event is a missed opportunity to say thank you to a veteran or a service member. By giving your extra tickets to VetTix, you'll help America's heroes reduce stress, strengthen family bonds, and create a truly happy memory that will last a lifetime. So when you really want to say thank you for your service, give the experience, give the memory. VetTix, give something to those who gave. For more information on how you can make a difference, go to vettix.org.
New Orleans Pelicans basketball is back.
Drives back into the lane. Alley-oop Zion! Oh, my heavens! Oh, my heavens!
What's your head?
Hi, this is Todd Graffinini. Join Daniel Salerson and me as the Pelicans wrap up preseason play against the Utah Jazz on Monday, October 11th at 8 p.m. You can hear it exclusively on your flagship station for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans 100.3 FM.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. I beg faith. 504 is the way to follow him on Twitter. Inside the Trenches, the podcast, Mr. Marlon Favorite. Hello, sir. How are you?
Hello, somebody. What up, Goose, baby? How you making out?
Doing well, man. I enjoyed checking you out this morning while I was doing a little cardio, sweating, and there you are on television on good day. Doing your thing, man, talking about the Saints and everything. What did you say this morning? How do you feel about the Saints game in Washington?
Well, the way I feel about the Saints in Washington is I hope our offensive line is really bringing the A game this week. And not to say that they're not elite when they're fully healthy. It's just that in the running attack, they were there. But in terms of the passing game, I thought we left a lot of opportunities switching back and forth with Taysom and Jameis at different times and kind of missed opportunities for the offensive line to show how great they are. Going against this group, Chase Young, the crew, Alabama boys on that front line, Washington has firepower. So I think that the Saints, and defensively, you know, get better. Gus, this was my first time, man, going to the Saints game. I actually was there on Sunday. I was in the 117 section. So shout out to everybody who listening right now who was in the section. We had a good time there. But I don't know, man. I just felt like it was a bounce-back game for Saquon and just a missed opportunities that we had on defense, too. So those are the things I really look at more than anything else.
What kind of game do you think you'll see on Sunday? I kind of see like a early 20s, late teens sort of back and forth game that probably comes down to a field goal, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a tight game because, like Gus, Washington, what they do, Heinicke, he's one of those guys, like, he reminds me so much of some of the guys I played with in the USFL, like a Josh McCown or something like that, because he really is like the underdog story you want to hear. He has that energy about it. So you don't want to, like, every game to him is Christmas, right? I'm not supposed to be here. I'm barely in the NFL. I'm really, a UFL or Alliance football player. That's his approach, and the team bought into him. They like him. You heard Chase Young say, hey, this is my quarterback right here. So he has that firepower, man, and he's a finisher. So I do think it's an opportunity for the Saints to bounce back. I do think they left a bad taste in their mouth against New York. And I feel like, you know, it could be one of those games where the Saints can win, you know, by a score or two on the road.
All right, Marlon, let's go over to Lexington tomorrow night, 6:30 SEC Network. Wildcats are favorites. For this game, I was talking to Chris Blair yesterday, and I said, look, I think for LSU, it's almost how I felt about Tulane at ECU last week, where it's I'm going to say, I think it's almost like a season sort of saving game in this aspect of it, where if you can't get this one, and again, they are ranked 16th. I understand that. But, man, you start looking at the opponents coming up. You got Florida, Ole Miss, bye week, Alabama, Arkansas. Those are going to be tough. Like, I don't see them favored right now in those, and that could be a streak that you don't want, as in losing streak. So this is a huge game, I think, for the guys in the locker room to show what kind of football team they want to be this year, huh?
Yeah, it is. It's almost, in a sense, they're playing to save the season. And the Auburn game really left that taste in our mouth. Because if you look at the two losses that LSU had, UCLA, an unranked team. Now, Auburn was ranked, but at Tiger Stadium. First time that happened in a very long time. You're going to get a University of Kentucky team that's hungry. Like, they're sitting here 5-0, and people still don't believe it. Like, think about it, Gus. They've won their last five games, unlike us. But it's still this, but they Kentucky. And that defense knows that. Kentucky has put, they're like third behind us in Alabama in the SEC of putting guys in the NFL in the last 5 years. So they're a talented team, Gus. They beat Florida for the first time in ages at University of Kentucky last week. There's a lot in this game. You have Darryl Rosenthal, former LSU player from Fairley, Louisiana, from my mama from shout-out to Fairley, Louisiana. He's out there in Kentucky. You know, because LSU didn't believe in him. So it's so much underlined in this game. And I do think it's a game the Tigers can win, Gus, but it's going to start with establishing. Give me 100 yards, Gus. I need a 100-yard rushing game. If we don't have a 100-yard rushing game, I don't know, Gus. I just don't know. We have to develop a running game. I don't know if there's so much on the offensive line or is it schematically how they're doing it. Is it the scheme of how it blocks? Who knows? But what I do know is a lot is riding on this game. Hello, somebody. So it's a perfect opportunity. We can turn the tables right here and, you know, go into those next few games, as you mentioned, Alabama, Ole Miss, you know, as we come off of the bye, going into Bama. You know, we can go into those games with a little more confidence. But I can tell you right now, I've been on some losing teams. Thank the Lord, not at LSU. Watch out there now. But playing professional ball, I've been on some bad teams, and the energy just doesn't sound good. So hopefully this team can bounce it back this week.
I think that's the thing that I'm referring to, Marlon, because when you look at this, you know the outside influencer noise, social media, what have you, isn't going to be positive if it starts going in that direction. And again, you just look at some of these games, and I get it, you lost that game after winning three straight, but look, that Mississippi State game didn't give you a ton of confidence, but you see it. And Marlon, I guess my point is, I see the talent. LSU has some talent. It's just, as I texted you last week, it makes me kind of desire a little better coaching and just all the way around in terms of I shouldn't be texting you in the second half of a game in which you're watching the lead slip away. Where is Butte? Like, I shouldn't be texting you that, Marlon. Like, that's absurd to me. You know, it's sort of like Sean Payton this week saying, Well, you know, Tony Jones Jr. was injured, and that kind of changed some things as to why Alvin Kamara didn't get a pass attempt or a target. I'm like, no one should have bearing as to whether or not I throw the football to Alvin Kamara out the backfield. Same thing with Butte. Nothing should have bearing as to why I can't get him the football, especially when my lead is dwindling. You know, like, it's inexplicable to me.
Yeah, I don't – and, you know, the last-minute timeout, they couldn't get the play in. There was so many different moving parts. And just knowing Coach Ed Orgeron, the type of coach he is, he's led before. So he is a known leader. He has experience in that. But he's a trust guy. When he makes a hire, when he brings a guy in, he trusts that guy to – and that's the way it's supposed to be. He trusts that guy to make the right decision. And he has some trust in these guys. Hey, at the very end of the day, when you continue to just switch things up, it becomes almost unorthodox for your players to actually be able to catch on, if you know what I mean, to the new things that's happening. And right. This is a team, like, conversation starts, doesn't it, Gus? Like, where does this LSU program go? What's going on? How's this thing going to turn out? I don't know if we can win the next couple of games. We still have a talented roster. So if the coaches could come together and put together a game plan, kind of like Matt Canada's last year there. You know, they figure out a way to make things work with that offense. Talking to Gary Brumfield, who does the LSU Sports Radio Network with me, he was talking about he actually liked Matt Canada. He said he liked, you know, because he was a coach that came to his players and asked them what works for them. So I don't know if that's something that's not going on at LSU or if it's something that is. But I do think that's important, Gus, just for the simple fact, you know, yeah, at this point of the season, it's midseason. It could go south or it could go north. We could turn this thing around or we could continue to run. Just 2 years ago, Gus, we were the best college football team ever. Just 2 years ago, same head coach, different offensive defensive coordinators, right? Since then, Aranda's went on. Baylor, Joe Brady's out there doing his thing in Carolina. But 2 years ago. So that's just something to think about moving forward in terms of talent and how good this team could be as they turn everything around.
Quick question for you, since you guys are out there on home games, LSU removing the COVID-19 protocols for fans at Tiger Stadium so you won't have to show proof of vaccination or a negative test. Do you think that's had an impact or not at all from the games that you've been at home in terms of, do you think people haven't shown up because of that? Do you think people tailgate and don't go in the stadium because of that? Or could you honestly not tell a bit of difference?
I can't really tell too much of a difference. To be quite honest with you, after the first game, they did the pre-screen, and then after, you just couldn't tell. But just looking at the crowd from the booth, Gus, you see those empty seats. We're used to seeing more people there, so... Yeah, that did play a role. And we know how huge that 12th man is. So, I mean, I'm a fan of having a screen. You know, I do understand how important it is to get it packed in there, but, you know, we also still want to keep it a safe environment. So, I don't know. That's actually news to me, Gus. You're enlightening me. I didn't know that they did that. I just know when we first got back, it was, we got to do that little check-in before you go ahead. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the Saints game this past weekend. So, yeah, man, this is very, you know, very serious. But I didn't really notice it, you know, from last week. You know, moving. Yeah. I don't know, Gus. You know, man, something like that.
There he is, Big Faye 504, Inside the Trenches, the podcast, Big Faye 504 over on Twitter. And, of course, on Mondays and Fridays, we'll chat with him here on the Sports Hangover. We'll chat with you again on Monday, 2:15, sir. Enjoy the weekend. Quick update on De La Salle. How are they?
They're doing good, man. They take on Landry this weekend. Oh, Keenan Lewis, West Banker, got to take on the De La Salle guys, man. So, Coach Graham, get the team rolling, man. The guys are excited. It's Saturday game. I'm actually going to do the pregame from, I guess, the fourth quarter of the De La Salle game, and then I'm going to truck my way on out to Baton Rouge to watch this one. So I'm feeling good, man. Hopefully the Cavs get out there, get a good win. Fought this thing off. LSU can hopefully get a win, and then the Saints can come back Sunday. It'll be a better week for us here in the 504, hopefully, baby.
All right, there he is. Thank you, bud. Enjoy the weekend.
You do the same, brother. Peace.
Marlin favorite. Quick break. We come back. We'll touch on the U.S. Men's National Soccer Team. They got a victory back over last night over Jamaica. Head coach Kenny Farrell's thoughts next on ESPN New Orleans. Everybody's working for the weekend.
Poker players know there's a difference at Cash Magic, a big difference. At your local Cash Magic casino, you'll have fun playing the newest games while enjoying our fast and friendly VIP service.
Cash Magic is my lucky place. They really do make you feel like a VIP.
It's time to have fun, so let us make you feel right at home with our fast and friendly VIP service. Come feel the magic today at one of our 9 Cash Magic casinos in Southeast Louisiana, including our 2 newest locations, Cash Magic Galliano and the Royal Flush in Houma. Louisiana's favorite place to play video poker, Cash Magic. You'll always be a
VIP, Cash Magic. Must be 21 or older, valid ID required. Gambling problem? 877-770-STOP.
Greg LeBlanc Toyota is currently open and here to serve our community with a fresh new inventory arriving daily
and over 150 quality pre-owned vehicles.
If you have any questions regarding vehicle replacement or you're looking to purchase a new vehicle, we are here to help. Stop by 220 South Hollywood Road or give us a call at 985-876-7210 or visit GregLeBlancToyota.com. GregLeBlancToyota.com. We are Homa Strong.
Welcome back. We've missed you. We know it's been tough. Because rebuilding your business isn't for the faint of heart. Your business needs a jump start. And we're here to help. Introducing Surge, symmetrical speed fiber internet from Etel Business. Revved up data speeds at 30% off, plus 3 months free. We're glad you're back. And we're here to make your business surge. Etel Business. Offer valid on 3-year contract for 2 or more business services.
How can we be excited about a show where we just talk?
Talk sports.
That's how they talk in the major league.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Yes, U.S. have numbers here. And Ricardo Pepi, the prodigy, strikes again. Mature beyond his years. Play 2, score 2. A flying start to what may prove to be a glittering international career. And here's Aronson breaking lines for the U.S. Pepe! It's becoming the happiest of habits. A new hero to acclaim.
And that was the second goal, and that is how the U.S. won 2-0 over Jamaica. Head coach Kenny Farrell of your New Orleans Jesters. Coach, you heard the play-by-play there, Pepe, the excitement, obviously, of maybe some new faces and kind of guys that we saw in the summer and back over in May, yeah, kind of perform, right?
Yeah, no, it's good because they were able to go out without, Pulisic and Reyna and still produce a very good performance. And to see a young player like Pepe come through, you know, it gives everybody excitement for the future. I think his two finishes, his two goals were excellent. They were both one-touch finishes, and he obviously has the nose of a striker inside the box. And hopefully if we can groom him over the next 14 months that he can become a regular goal scorer for us. You know, you remember the days of Landon Donovan. It didn't matter what game we were in. He pulled the goal out for us, and hopefully this can be that type of player for us. It's very exciting. And it's great to see the USA on top of the bracket right now, which, if you went back 2 or 3 games ago, we were a little bit right. worried. And we're in a better place
coach.
Now.
Feeling coach, good. Just be honest. You were really worried. You were not happy by the first performance in the first pod. You got 3 games in this next set here. Jamaica, Panama, Costa Rica, Sunday and Wednesday, the next 2 games. Just your overall thoughts, though, by what you saw yesterday. Did you see anything different from the first 3 games?
Yeah, so what you have to understand is, like, some games you're going to have a lot of possession, and some games you're going to have to play on counterattack. Like, we've done really well against Mexico recently over the last 12 months when we don't have possession and we're able to beat them and take them on. And that will happen a lot in the World Cup. And then we have games where we can control possession, and we are the better side, and we are quicker on the ball, and we execute quicker, and we have better players, and we were able to win and create chances. We won 2-0 last night, but really it could have been 4 or 5. There were a couple of counterattacks that went against us, and I think we handled them okay. Our goalkeeper really didn't touch the ball much in the game. But I like the fact we were able to take them on. I like the way they were able to switch play, get players forward. They played with confidence, and you should do that against teams that you're better against. Remember, this is only Jamaica, and I don't want to downplay it, but they're bottom of this group, and we should be beating them 2-0. That's the encouraging part, and there could have been 2 penalties. I think one of them maybe should have been for us, and if they weren't bad tackles, they might have been goals. So it could have been 4-5-0, and that's exactly what we're meant to be doing against the likes of Jamaica. So I'm happy where we're at, but I still think it's a long way to go. I love the way they can get over playing without, you know, these superstars, Pulisic mm-hmm. particularly, and still perform extremely well. And some performances for guys that was their first game on the pitch were just amazing. You know, Zimmerman and Musa, it's the first time he started the game, I think, for the USA, and he was just tremendous. I love the fact, and I do like this, I criticized the coach the last time over one of his decisions. I love the fact he's not afraid to say, okay, we don't overpossess. Let's get the ball in the wing. Let's go down the middle. Let's take them on, go at them, because teams like Jamaica would like to sit behind the ball and have you have possession all day and not attack them. Well, the USA attacked them, and I give the coach credit for that and give the players credit for that. And that's what it made such an exciting game last night.
All right, so put on your coach's cap on, too. What are some of the things, though, you probably jot it down on a napkin at some bar somewhere or on a laptop since you're professional? I'm going to give you the professional take. Maybe an iPad Pro, you know, with the little pencil that really isn't the pencil. What would you jot down as the things that you want to talk about the next time you guys get together before the game on Sunday? What do you want to see better?
Well, it's going to be a different game on Sunday, but what I would say is that I think – we talked about for a couple of years the defense getting stronger and stronger and stronger, more cohesive, working together, not giving away chances. That didn't happen last night. They were very, very good. The goalkeeper obviously has had a lot of clean sheets, and that starts to give me much more encouragement. The movement of the ball and the switching of play really was able to open up the Jamaican defense. They set up very much like Canada did to soak pressure and play in the counterattack, and they were very quick to come from one side of the field to the other, which means that the numbers in defense couldn't shift quickly enough. And if you look at both goals, they came from balls that were played in from wide areas. And as I said to you earlier, they were one-touch finishes. They were classic finishes in the box.
Right.
And then the other times when they did attack down the middle and they had good combination play in midfield and they created a free runner and put in a nice ball in behind or a direct ball in, they were able to put that part in the game as well. So overall, I think it's very encouraging. I think the work rate in midfield was incredible. The confidence was excellent. There's very little criticism for last night's game. Now, it will be different, obviously. You're playing away. Now you've been through the Honduras game, and some of these players that have not played away in international games, especially CONCACAF, you know, World Cup qualifiers, will understand what they get on the road when they go to Central American countries. And it's, you know, they're not given the red carpet, let's put it that way. And so maybe
you always say that every time they go somewhere, right? What can we expect? Lost luggage was the last time. People apparently partying outside of the team hotels. Have you been to Panama? Yeah. What is Panama like?
I be honest, I have not been there, but there's probably going to be a heavy
that sounds like a road trip
playing all night. Yeah, we need one. But look, when you look at this game, Gus, Panama are on 5 points and the United States are on 8. Panama are at home. There's no VAR. You've got to finish things off. Last night we had a referee who was very inexperienced. I think for his first World Cup qualifier, I think he did okay. But I was worried about that from the start. You've got to overcome everything. You've got to overcome the quality of the pitch. You've got to overcome the hostility of the crowd. You've got to overcome, you know, no air conditioning in the hotel, which may happen, or losing luggage. These things happen. You know, somehow they just seem to happen when you're in these, you know, places, and it's part and parcel of what goes on. So I hope they can overcome all distractions. I hope they can build off this, and I do believe they need to be a bit more cautious going forward. But they certainly showed me now that against teams that are better than them and teams they should be beating, they seem to have the right game plan for both. Now it's we go at home. There was one thing that was really encouraging about last night was we were in a stadium where it was red, white, and blue all over it, and it was all behind America. And I want to see the USA play in those environments at home all the time, and sometimes we don't. We'll set up a play against Mexico, and it'll be, you know, it'll be full of a Mexican crowd at the game. It's like an away game. So the more of that we can have at home, we should dominate our games at home and win them. We go on the road, and we can handle these hostilities in these hostile away games, and they will be, and we can take that in and not let us distract us and play our football. I think we're going to do well. Compared to, you know, probably a month ago or 5 weeks ago, I was a little bit nervous, but much more encouraged now.
Got about a minute and a half left here, Coach. Obviously, sure. I asked you to look at some of the things you want to see as a team. We do this with fantasy football. Is there a player that you would start? Or is there a player that you would sit in the lineup?
I think, in all honesty, unless there's a massive tactical change in the game that we're going into, not one of those starting players should be left out, unless it's for other reasons like rest or there's slight injuries and they're going back to their international clubs after this or, you know, they need them for the next game. If they're all fit and ready to go, I wouldn't make a change. I think that they earned their spots to start. I love Musa in midfield, the Valencia player who gets the ball forward for us so well. The work rate of Adams is fantastic. I think McKinney did an excellent job at work rate. I know he can be a lot more dynamic in games, but he did what he had to do to make it work last night. And then Pepe, you know, this guy's going to score goals for us, especially at this level. I think, you know, the more we can get the ball into the box for him, the more one-touch finishes and the more fair. He's a natural striker. This is a guy we got to watch going forward. I think that will be great. You've got to look at the goalkeeper, and even though he didn't have a lot to do last night, my God, the amount of clean sheets that he's had is very encouraging. And I'd like to see those two central defenders play again together and see what they can give us going forward. So, no, I wouldn't make a change because I think they've earned the right to play the game on the I think it's Saturday night, I think.
Sunday at 5 p.m.
Sunday
at 5 p.m.
They've all earned that right. They've all earned that right to be in that starting lineup.
Who do you like on Sunday?
On Sunday? I think, honestly, I think it's a 1-1 tie. And I think we come back and beat Costa Rica at home next week. Right. We've got two games coming up. I think it's a 1-1 tie, and I think we beat Costa Rica at home next week. And we're sailing.
I've already put in the permission slip for next Wednesday. I'll meet you down the street at that place of pie, if you know what I'm talking about, for Wednesday.
Okay,
no, I've already put it in.
That.
It's been accepted already. I kind of put in already. It's nice and early at 6 o'clock. I told I'll be home by 8:30, which means 10:30. But we're good. We'll be good. Next Wednesday, I will go watch the game with you and have some pizza.
That's great. But listen, kudos to Austin, the city of Austin, for getting behind that team last night. It was amazing. That's the 12th man. It means a lot to the players, and it just looked great to have that kind of stadium and that kind of crowd behind your home national team. I thought that was phenomenal.
Sounds good, man. I'm going to wait on asking the wife if we can go to Panama on a road trip, though. Let's get pizza first, and then I'll ask.
Well, we've got Costa Rica coming up soon, so maybe we'll do that one.
I can definitely do Costa Rica. Let's do that.
Panama's
mosquitoes, man.
Okay.
I can't get past the whole building of the Panama Canal with everyone with the mosquitoes. I don't like mosquitoes here. I don't want to go somewhere where there's mosquitoes there. And I know Costa Rica has mosquitoes. Anyway, Kenny Farrell, head coach of your New Orleans Jesters. Next time we have you on, sir, we'll talk about those camps that you're going to be having coming here in the near future.
Awesome,
including, let's see if my 4-year-old can. He's okay, right? 4-year-old can go out there and do it?
No, he's in. We're taking care of him.
All right, sounds good. All right,
he's going to be the next Pepe.